you mentioned you gave us a fleeting glance there, Bob, about you would happily have stayed in this job if your eyes weren't turned towards something else. What was this something else, or this new discovery, or this new direction, which perhaps took your career elsewhere?
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed the engineering, and mentioned time in the workshops. Also had time in going out and servicing engines on things like the Tilbury Ferry and in Newcastle, in the shipyards and things like that. Absolutely fantastic in terms of being able to extend your view about the world. But we had a system where once the engines had completed their test, they were taken off and prepared for dispatch, was the expression. And if you can imagine, it was pretty hot work. The engine's running hot, especially when they're on full load. And in order to get them off quickly, you used to work them when they were still hot. And I remember a particular afternoon when everything was hot, and I had got this engine ready for dispatch, and it had to be inspected by this guy who'd come up in his pristine condition with his white shirt and his collar and tie and his white overcoat with his clipboard. And here am I in my dirty brown overalls, covered in oil, sweating and wiping the sweat off. And you have to actually clean out the sump in the bottom of the engine. And these are big enough to get into a huge engine, if you can imagine. And once it's pumped, the oil is pumped out, we had to actually wipe them clean with rags, if you can imagine. And there was I, all ready to compete, ready for inspection, and the guy came up with his clipboard and he shines the torch into the darkness of the crankcase, and he says, "There's a spot of oil in there, boy." And that moment I thought, I don't really want to be doing this when I'm 60. I really don't. And I thought, I really must be looking for something else. And that was my inspiration to unfortunately leave engineering, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and look for something else. I didn't need to look far. My father, being an ex-military man, had been in the police service in Birmingham, which was his hometown. And I made inquiries about Essex Police and then went through all the selection procedure. I remember I had to go over to Brightlingsea to take an entrance exam and was finally accepted. And I joined the Essex Police, which was then Essex Constabulary, in 1963.
And that must have been maybe the first time in your kind of career and also your life where your work then wasn't based totally locally here in either Wivenhoe or Colchester. So that must have been a different time for you, where you had to perhaps be prepared and open for moving around and travelling.
Yeah, it was pretty much a jolt, if I'm frank about it. We've already said that bred and born in Wivenhoe, very much a country boy, quite limited in the way in which which I would have gone into town or into a large area, a built-up area. And the training, and actually living away from home as well, which was I was not accustomed to. So our training centre was on the other side of Oxford, a place called Eynsham Hall, and so we were there for 3 months, living in barracks, and not totally different from being in the army, to be quite honest. We were given drill to do, we had inspections and things like that. So pretty much a jolt, being taken away from, well, moving away from home, and finding this totally different way of life. And then to compound that, after those 3 months, my first posting was at Upminster, which was in then what was known as the Romford Division of Essex Police, and is now part of the Metropolitan Police area. So you can imagine, from little old Wivenhoe to the metropolis is a bit of a shock in terms of a culture shock. And what you have to do. But it's amazing how resilient people are and how quickly you adapt and how you settle down and you carry on with your work and things like that. So from sort of the early 60s until the early 90s, 30 years of the police service, I had a pretty nomadic life and lived and served in a number of towns around the county of Essex. I don't know if you want me to list them, but...
Yes, please, yes, all, why not?
You know, they're all firmly stitched in there, but the first posting was at Upminster, as you know. It then was the time when Metropolitan Police actually extended into what was known as Metropolitan Essex. And we had an option. We were asked, did we want to transfer to Metropolitan Police or did we want to come back into the county, as it were? And I've already sort of portrayed my view that I'm a country boy at heart. I didn't want to go deeper into London. I actually wanted to come further out. So I opted to stay with Essex Constabulary and was then obviously moved out of London. And my next station from that was at Epping, which was fantastic, just on the borders of Epping Forest. No M11 in those days. The A11 runs absolutely straight through the main high street. It is a market town, or it was a market town, so there were sort of cattle containments along the side of the high street. A complete mixture of things. A very, very interesting town, actually, on the end of the central line. The main A11 running through from Norwich to London, so brought a lot of traffic things. We had a major hospital there, St Margaret's Hospital, which brought in lots of medically associated police tasks. And if I may say that in those days, bobbies did everything. These days they've got a specialist squad for this, a specialist squad for that, and there is a post known these days as the coroner's officer. But in those days, if there was a what's known as a sudden death, then whoever was on the detail of the morning, because they generally came particularly from the hospital in the mornings, then you were detailed to go off and investigate, set up, record, report, maybe a coroner's inquest and everything else, all connected with a particular sudden death that would come up. So a very, very interesting town to work in with all the things that went on there. I then had an opportunity because within the service arrangements there are sort of monthly bulletins and they advertise posts, and I saw on what's known as force orders that they were looking for dog handlers, police dog handlers. And just coming back to the country boy connection and all that, it really sounded a fantastic job. And I applied for that and was successful, which saw my next move, which took me from Epping to Grays Thurrock. So another incredibly interesting place to work, based not too far from Tilbury Docks and Grays, etc. Incredibly close to places like Basildon and the A13 and what then was just one single crossing on the Dartford Tunnel. Lots of traffic matters and other things to deal with to make life as a bobby interesting. But of course, handling police dogs, the best job, absolutely the best job. It almost certainly takes place out in the countryside, which is what I love. And you are entrusted with being your own director of work, if you call it that, because we were what we could known as single crewed, just one person on the vehicle, and you had a very large area to work. So my area working, as I did at Grays Thurrock, included anywhere from Grays up to the Metropolitan border, up to Brentwood and out to Basildon. So fantastic area to work. After that, I was very, very lucky to get moved on to Colchester. So I had a period of time as a dog handler here at Colchester, which speaks for itself, was fantastic. And I suppose one needs to progress in life, and I then was promoted to sergeant, and that took me over to Harlow New Town, and all the things that goes with the new town, particularly the layout, and I would say the complications of domestic life, which seemed to be high on the agenda in Harlow, for example. Once again, another interesting place. Lots of community-based projects came out from Harlow. It's famous for its sculptures, as you probably know, around the town centre and things like that. But the main park used to feature big band concerts in the summertime, the Sid Lawrence bands and things like that. They were big things in Harlow.
And all this time, so from Upminster to Epping, Grace, Thurrock and Harlow, you're also moving your own kind of domestic situation, so you're actually based in all these towns.
Yes, it's a question of uprooting the family, establishing a new household, creating new friends, taking the children to a new school, and settling in with new colleagues. And it does tend to make you flexible, at the very least.
So it seems like quite a career, so 30 years.
Yeah.
So 30 years in the police force, and you sort of mentioned, Bob, that you touched upon Colchester and then went off to Harlow.
Yes.
So did this period then just come to a natural conclusion, sort of age-wise, in the police force? After 30 years, how did you find yourself maybe going complete full circle and being positioned back here in Wivenhoe?
Yes, well, my very last situation was as sergeant in charge of the dogs in this area, police dogs. So for Clacton and Colchester and Braintree in this area, I was the operational sergeant. So based in Colchester, that meant I was able to come back into this area and live. I actually lived at Upstead Market for a while. So. That sort of brought me back into this area. Then I suppose when you speak about the way in which the years roll on, I then took up an interest in welfare and representation, and started a second part of my career as part of the Police Federation. So I was a divisional representative for a while, but then got appointed to the role of chairman of the Joint Branch Board of Essex Police. So I was permanently employed representing officers in their welfare, discipline matters and things like that. So for the last few years I was driving a desk at headquarters.
And was that something which you enjoyed doing at the time? Was it just like a natural progression, or were you pretty much, did you really enjoy actually being out on the beat and doing hand-to-hand policing?
Yeah, it's very much a mixture of both. Absolutely thoroughly enjoyed hand-to-hand policing and the work that it involved. But then a lot of people said to me, I never thought you'd ever stop being a dog handler, because they knew that I was really into it. But it was perhaps accepting another challenge, because it brought me in at the higher level of the service, in as much that I would have frequent briefings with the chief constable and deal with matters of discipline where bobbies had gone astray, where the chief constable is the discipline authority and the federation representative is the person that advocates on behalf of the officer. So it was that sort of representative role, and great fun.
And then how did you find yourself then back in Wivenhoe? Does this sort of coincide still with that period? So you're your time at Elmstead Market, and now you're kind of based back in Wivenhoe, so you know, back from 1941 and your early kind of years here.
Yeah.
Was that a conscious decision to think, back in Wivenhoe?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. I think that everything we stand for would tell you that my interest, my real sort of nurture and base is Wivenhoe itself. And the reasons for that are endless, really, aren't they? And we've already spoken about a feeling for the river, the feel of the town. It's almost indescribable. But Wivenhoe has got it's almost tangible. You come into Wivenhoe, you can feel the town around you, and everything else. So it wasn't really a question of making the choice. It was just absolutely distinctive to come back into Wivenhoe.
Remember, if that's okay to ask, what kind of period or sort of what year did you move?
Yeah, I actually linked that in with my work, because having retired from the police service on a Sunday, I started work on the Monday with Colchester Borough Council, and I was there in my first role as the manager of what we call the Helpline Service. It's a community alarm service, and the easiest way to describe it is that older, frail people, or people that have a particular need, would have this button that hangs around their neck, and if they have any difficulty or problems, minor problems at home, they press the button. How it works, it's very, very similar to changing the channels on your TV. press the button and something happens to your telephone, it automatically dials through to the control centre where it's answered by an operator who then is able to speak directly to the person who's made the call. So I was responsible for running that centre. We then developed a new centre I'm trying to think of the name of the place, in the town centre anyway, and I'll come back to that, which combined the CCTV monitoring centre. 146 CCTV cameras in Colchester, all going back to this centre. And so it's a 24-hour operational centre. And so it had lots of connections with my police role. In fact, the helpline service had very much the same, responding to emergencies, because what we had a small squad of cars, we had a number of operators that went out. If Mrs. Bloggs was on the floor with her, you know, we sent people out to deal with it and that sort of thing. And then my role began to grow. I then took on emergency planning, or contingency planning as it's called now, a responsibility for two older people's community centres, and took part in a government pilot scheme which was known as Community Street Wardens. We had a government grant which enabled us to start off with four community street wardens on a trial in Colchester, and I think that must have been 10 years ago now. And as far as I understand now, the team's expanded to 10 and they're working in all the wards in the borough. We had two experimental wards where we worked. So, a fair range of roles and responsibilities with the council. And again, I enjoyed it. It's slightly different from what I'd done before, but not too far away from what my experience had given me. And then eventually retiring in 1993.